Good morning. And welcome to Railway Street this morning. It's a joy to see you with us. Trust, especially if you're a visitor or you've only maybe started joining us in recent weeks, that you felt the warmth of that welcome. And it is quite literally a warm welcome. I've already seen Henry Snodden taking his jacket off. So feel free, folks. It is warm. We'll keep those doors open to allow air to circulate, but feel free. If you need to take the jacket off, just as I've done as well. It's a joy to have you here, especially this is our Harvest Thanksgiving service. You'll have guessed that looking around, folks, at how beautifully the building has been decorated today. So we welcome you here for this Harvest Thanksgiving service this morning. All of you here in the building, and those of you who are watching at home, and I know some who wish to be here this morning are unable to due to health reasons today. So we welcome you if you're watching at home or if you're listening to the telephone line service later. Guys, could we just switch that monitor on here in front of me, because it's not on at the minute, so if we could get that monitor on, that would be really helpful. So we're here to worship God this morning. We're here to give thanks to God for his goodness, his faithfulness, and all his provision. And as we come to worship God, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to begin with some verses from Psalm 136 that will hopefully come up on the screen. I'm going to say the first bit, and then I'm going to invite you to join in that constant refrain that there is in Psalm 136, to invite you to say with me, "His love endures forever." So great. Let's stand together, folks, as we worship God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, his love endures forever. Together in prayer, let's pray. Our Lord God, we've gathered here in this place today to worship you. We acknowledge you as our great God, the one whose steadfast love endures forever. We seek to come today as thankful people, as joyful people, to glorify your name, to worship the creator of heaven and earth, to worship our maker, our sustainer, our provider, our redeemer, our savior and Lord. We've gathered especially in this Harvest Sunday to praise you for every good and perfect gift that comes down from yourself. We praise you for your unfailing goodness, for your everlasting love, for your faithfulness from one generation to another, for your mercies which are new every morning. We praise you today for seed time and harvest, for summer and winter, for day and night, for food and shelter, for health and reason, for childhood and age, youth and adulthood, for your fatherly hand over us in sickness and in health, in joy and in sorrow, in life and in death. We thank you for friends and family, for home and country, but especially for your church and for the gospel. Lord, we praise you for the good news of your grace offered to us through Jesus Christ, your Son, and his sacrifice for us on the cross. We praise you for the time when you sowed the seed of your word in our hearts. We praise you for that time when your word and your grace penetrated through the weeds of sin and death in our lives, and through your Holy Spirit you called us to yourself. We praise you for the love and forgiveness you've poured into our hearts. We praise you for the privilege we know of belonging to the Church of Jesus Christ and the blessings we know through being part of it. Lord, there's no good thing for which we may not bless and thank you. Forgive us how often we're slow or careless to say those words, thank you. For every day we enjoy your gifts, but often forget neglect to thank you, the giver. Make us mindful of how everything we have and receive is a gift from yourself. Make us truly thankful for all your gifts and to return our thanks, not just this morning, but from day to day. And Father, we thank you that the Bible reminds us we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so, Lord, as we will eat today and be satisfied, so also give us a hunger for your word. Speak to us as we hear it this morning, as we think upon it. Cause us not merely to be hearers of the word, help us to do what it says. Hear our prayer, receive our praise and our thanksgiving for all you've done for us, for all you've given us. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Amen. Folks, it's a joy to welcome this morning as our guest preacher, Graham Reid. Graham is the assistant in our sister congregation of Elmwood. His supervising minister is Andrew Thompson, who many years ago was an assistant minister here in Railway Street. Now, you don't know Graham, I'm presuming. I hardly know Graham. So rather than just have Graham come up and speak, I thought it'd be nice to learn a wee bit about him. First, I'm going to invite Graham to come up.
Can you hear me?
Brilliant.
Yep, you're on. Brilliant. Oh. Graham, first of all, tell us a wee bit about yourself, where you're from, your background.
My name's Graham. I'm assistant minister in Elmwood, as Michael said. I'm originally from a place called Pettigo. Has anybody ever heard of it? It's on the way to Osnoula, so maybe you've drove through it now and again. There's not much to Pettigo. It's an agricultural background, and that's where I'm originally from. I moved to Belfast after studying music in Londonderry for 3 years. I moved to Belfast to become a fraud consultant in Lloyds Bank, and then after that, I went into the ministry.
Okay, that's an interesting route, Graham. From studying music to fraud consultant for the Lloyds Bank. Do you want to talk us through that?
I sensed the call to ministry when I was 16 years old, would you believe it? I was really young. And I rocked up to Union Theological College. I knocked on Stafford Carson's door and I said, "Let me in." And he said, "No, go and get a bit of life experience, do a degree in something you enjoy, and then come back to me after a wee while and see if you're still interested in becoming a minister." And that was the best advice I ever received. I learned so much during my time, both in music at McGee and in Lloyd's. So I just looked for an ordinary job, Michael, okay, to be honest with you.
So, working in the fraud department in Lloyd's gave you a real insight into the nature of human sin, which prepared you well for training for the ministry then.
Especially in Presbyterian Church in Ireland.
Okay. You said that, not me. Tell us, first of all, how you came to faith.
I came to faith in a very ordinary way at a CEF camp whenever I was maybe 14, 15 years old. I was given the opportunity to respond to the gospel, and I took that opportunity. Before that, I grew up in a church going home. I knew my catechism inside and out, and yet I didn't know the one who that catechism was all about. I didn't know Jesus. And at that point, I gave my life to him.
Okay. Thank you. So you've been through Union?
Yes.
You've been licensed. How long have you been in Elmwood, and what are you enjoying most about that now being out doing ministry in Lisburn? Mm-hmm.
So I've been in Elmwood since last summer. So I've been there maybe around 15 months now, and I got licensed there in July, at the start of July, and I'm really enjoying getting to know the people. Ballymacash is a bit different to Pettigo, so it's a different way of life, but I feel that I'm learning a lot, not just about people, but about God and my particular Christian walk with him.
Lovely. Andrew, thank you. Delighted to have you here. You're going to read the scriptures for us now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
As I say, it's great to be with you. Our scripture readings this morning, or the scripture reading this morning, is taken from Psalm 111. We'll be reading the full Psalm together. And it'd be really good if you could open that with us. Psalm 111. This is God's word.
praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the land of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Amen.
Okay, could I invite all the boys and girls of primary school age, don't be shy, come on down to the front. Graham's going to be speaking to you, so especially you're up in the gallery, get on your way down the stairs, folks. So all those primary school age, and could I ask whoever's on beginner's duty, if you could be down at the front for the dispersal afterwards, that would be good too. So come on up, just give them a couple of minutes.
Good morning, everyone. Not long until half term now. Are you all excited? That's great. We're just waiting for a few more here. Isn't the church decorated so nicely? Why do you think we've decorated the church today? It's not quite Halloween. We're decorated for a different reason, but we're in and around that time of year, yes? It's for the harvest. And the harvest is a time where we can give thanks to God for all that he has created for us and all that he has done for us. When I was thinking about the harvest this year, I was thinking about a TV show that I used to watch whenever I was younger. It was a TV show called How It's Made. Have you ever heard of it? No, you've never heard of it? There should be a slide. Yes, How It's Made. And this show was all about how different things were made. You could see how a Land Rover Defender or how a Jeep was made. Yeah.
God made it, the earth.
God made the earth. You have just... That is brilliant. Well done. You've just spoiled everything, but no, you haven't spoiled everything at all. Don't worry at all. How It's Made, you are just right. Well done, Michael, and all the people who teach this young boy. God made everything. You are just right. But I watched this TV show, and you could see how everything was made. You could see how everything was made. And I watched one of them, and it was about a tin of beans and how a tin of beans was made. Can anybody see what I have in my hand here? It's a tin of baked beans. Now, some people say that it has to be Heinz. It's a cost of living crisis, so it doesn't have to be Heinz at the minute. This was 21p from Sainsbury's. If you don't know, get to know. And this is baked beans, okay? Can anybody see what God has made in baked beans? We're going to peel off the front, this front bit. And I should have maybe tested this at home, but we're going to peel off this paper label. Does anybody know what this paper label was made of? The clues in the name? Yeah?
Paper.
Paper. And what is paper made of?
Paper is made out of trees.
Paper is made out of trees. You are just right. Paper is made out of trees. And who made the trees?
God.
God made the trees. Isn't that wonderful? So even now, even just in the paper label, we can see that God made this paper label because he made the trees, and he made the man who made the paper, and he made the person who designed the front of it, and he made everything. God made this paper label because he made the trees. He makes everything. Does anybody know what this is made of?
Metal.
Metal, yes. Does anybody know what type of metal it is?
Iron.
Tin. Tin. Good answer. It's known as a tin, but it's actually made of aluminium. Does anybody know what aluminium's a big word, and even Americans can't pronounce it. But this is made of aluminium. And I'm going to explain. There's a slide about how aluminium is made. It should be there. So we've got the tin, and then the next slide shows the whole process. So a digger comes and digs up all this stuff called bauxite from the ground. It's really rich in minerals, and it's put into a big loader, and the loader is brought to a refining center, and the refining center takes from the ground and refines it into aluminium, and then the aluminium is melted into shape, and it's made into lots of different things. We can see that it's made, aluminium makes aeroplanes and cars. It also makes buildings and lots of parts of buildings, our computers at home, and then tin cans and other things like that. All these things come from this stuff called bauxite, stuff that comes right from the earth, right from how God made it initially. Isn't that amazing? So even the earth that God made is in this can in some sort of a way. We're going to open this can here now. And I'm not going to make a mess of the lovely carpet. But I'm going to pour it nice and neatly into here. Does anybody want this for their lunch? No? Well done. Now, what is in these beans? Can everybody see that? Can you describe those beans to me? What are beans?
Beans
are beans.
Yeah.
Beans are beans. And where do beans come from?
Beans come from out of the ground.
Beans come from out of the ground. They're made of beanstalks. Has anybody heard of the fairy tale about Jack and the beanstalk?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they come from beanstalks. And out of the pods, as we can see on the screen, out of the pods come the beans, and the beans are useful for us to eat, and we can eat them, and we can enjoy them, and that's how we can enjoy them. What else is in there?
Like wet, soggy, sort of sauce thingy.
Wet, soggy sort of sauce thingy? What's it made of? How's it made? What does it taste like? It's made of tomatoes. It's tomato sauce. And where do tomatoes come from?
Out of the ground.
Out of the ground. You're just right. A tomato plant grows, and we can eat its fruit, and we can enjoy it. God made everything. God made everything. We have seen that he made the paper label. He made the tin. He made the tomato sauce. He made the beans. He has made everything, and we can enjoy all that he has made. But what should we do to God for all that he has done for us?
God made people.
Yes, he made you and me as well.
He never even sleep or get up.
Yeah, he never falls asleep or gives up. That is just right. He made you and me, and we should be so thankful for that. What should we do to give him thanks? Let's have somebody else. Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry. Yeah. We should praise him. We should give him thanks. We should give him thanks for all that he has done, and we should praise him and glorify him with our whole lives. The most important gift that he has given to us is our Lord Jesus, and he died to take away all our sins so we could freely praise him with all of our lives. We should give him thanks. Not only for the food that he has given, but for the Savior that he gave to us. And we should put our trust in him and give our whole lives to him in praise. That's what this Sunday is all about. So remember that as you next eat your beans on toast. Remember that God has given it to you as a gift, and be thankful to him for all that he has given to you. You're going to go out to children's church now. So get ready for that. But thank you very much for listening so well. And thank you for all your answers. That was just brilliant. As I say, it's a delight to be with you. Thank you, Michael, for inviting me. As I shared earlier on, there are two things in particular you need to remember about me. I'm from the countryside.
I'm from a sheep farming background in a place called Pettigo, as you've heard. And number two, I'm also very fond of music. I studied it at university. And as we begin to reflect on this psalm, I want to tell you a useful technique that's used in both farming and in music. Call and response. Call and response is a really important part of all kinds of music. Antiphony, to use musical terminology, is used in many different types of music. In classical music, we sometimes hear one choir call and the other choir respond. And this musical technique is also common in pop music also. Through the influence of African music, rock and roll, soul, blues, we often hear singers call and then the band respond. The Who, Chuck Berry, Carly Rae Jepsen, what do they all have in common? This musical technique, call and response. Call and response is also a really important thing in farming. My dad and my brother do much of the farming, and I'm a very much part-time and most definitely on a part-time wage. Because of the sporadic nature of my agricultural career, the animals don't know me. So when I call to them, I'm largely ignored. But the fascinating thing is that the sheep recognize my dad and my brother's voice. The animals recognize them as they call. This means that my dad doesn't have to shape or to chase after the sheep all day like I do. Instead, he just calls out to them at the gate, and every sheep in the field just runs towards them in response to his call. It's a sight to behold. Dad calls, the sheep respond. Call and response. In many ways, what we do in a harvest Thanksgiving service is a response to God's faithfulness and his goodness to us through his creation and providence. Being from a background where many people are reliant on God's promise of a seed time and harvest to make a living, this Sunday was always a significant one in my rural church family back home. Our reliance on God's providence through his creation calls us, compels us to respond to him with thanksgiving and praise for all that he has provided to us. So in many ways, what we're doing today is a call and response. God's creation and providence compel us to respond to him with thanksgiving and praise. Call and response. Keep that in your mind. We're reflecting on Psalm 111 this morning, and it would be very helpful to you if you could have that Bible passage open as we consider it together. What I think this psalm teaches us is this. The creative works of God are great. His providential rule over the world is glorious. Both of these things compel us to respond to him with awe and obedience, thanksgiving and praise. We're going to look at this passage in a wee bit of a through other way. That's a Fermanagh phrase, if you don't know. But we're going to start at verse 2, and then we're going to look at verse 1 right at the very end again. Here's what verses 2 to 4 say to us. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in him. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. The psalmist says that the works of the Lord are great. Speaking of the greatness of God's works in his creation. As we considered together with the boys and girls earlier on, there is nothing outside of his creative design. God made everything. As we considered, everything that we can see and touch can be traced back to the hand that created them, God. That is amazing. And every time we hear that, we should be astonished afresh. This week, I was visiting an elderly woman from Elmwood in her home, And she reflected and she marveled about how the wonder of God's creation and how she reflects and is astounded afresh every time. She recalled a song that she heard a long, long time ago. Maybe you've heard it. The song said this, "Carpenter, carpenter, make me a tree. That's the work of someone far greater than me." It is true, isn't it? The great works of the Lord show us his greatness. No matter how skilled a woodworker you are, not one of you could build a tree. No matter how skilled an electrician you are, not one of you could fix the stars into space. And yet these are the great works of the Lord. And they show to us his greatness. The works of the Lord are great. As well as saying that, the psalmist also says that the deeds of the Lord are glorious and majestic. The word for deeds here in the Hebrew suggests the ongoing nature of God's work with all that he created. The psalmist here suggests that the works of God, the works of God's providence, the ways in which he cares for this world on an ongoing, day-by-day basis, tell of his glory, of his majesty. The Lord continuously rules and reigns over all that he has created with glory, splendor, and majesty. It was appropriate that we sang this morning, "The Splendor of Our King." And just as the creative works of the Lord show to us his greatness, so too do these acts of ongoing interaction with the world show us his sovereignty, his glory, his majesty. The deeds of the Lord are glorious and majestic. And as the psalm continues, we reflect on how God has caused his wonders to be remembered. What we learn from this verse is that God's intention behind his work of creation and his ongoing deeds and his ongoing rule over our lives is that we, as his creatures, might remember him in response. By revealing to us his greatness in the greatness of his works, and by revealing to him his sovereign glory and majesty in his ongoing relation to the world, how he orders the world, he calls us to remember him in response. And yet so often we don't do that. So often we forget to remember. So often we fail to respond to his call of creation. And even worse, we're often prone to glorifying in our own works before we pay any attention to God's provision for us. We often fail to acknowledge the Lord as he deals with us day by day. We regularly overlook the work of his hands as he provides for us everything that we need as we go through life. When there's food on our plates, we fail to acknowledge where that food has really came from. When we work hard for something and get what we had worked for, we often forget where our strength originally came from. Whatever it is, we forget to remember. We forget to remember the great and glorious work of God in our lives. When you sit down to Sunday lunch this afternoon, acknowledge that it's only by God's provision that you sit down and eat. If you're going for a walk this afternoon or spending time in God's creation with your friends and family, rain, hail, or shine, and hopefully it is shine, remember the greatness of the one who created it all. Whatever you do today, don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember the greatness of his creation. Recognize his glory and how he cares for you, how he provides for you, and how he looks after you. The psalmist, as we've considered, has recognized the greatness of God's creation and his glory. And now as he moves on, he celebrates the power of the Lord's deliverance and how the Lord is faithful to all of his promises. Let's look at verses 5-9 together. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They're established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. In this section of the psalm, the writer is recalling the great deliverance that the Israelites received from their slavery in Egypt. That might not be immediately obvious upon first reading, but let's look a little closer. He speaks of food being provided to those who fear him. Remember how the Lord provided manna, bread from heaven to them as they wandered in the desert. He speaks of how God has displayed his power by giving them the land of other nations. Remember how God led the Israelites out of Egypt into the land that he had promised them, remaining faithful to his promise to them. Even the mention that the Lord is gracious and compassionate harks back to the story of Israel's deliverance. Remember what God said to Moses in Exodus 34, verse 6. Just after he shows his great power to them by delivering them in a miraculous way, the Lord proclaims before Moses, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. Even the mention of the Lord's compassion and grace hark back to that story of deliverance. This psalm is littered with the language that reminds us of that particular time. And while he reminds the readers of these things, he also recognizes that God has established his covenant forever. Not only has he provided redemption for his people in the past, on the basis of God's eternally established covenant, the psalmist anticipates a day where that covenant will be fulfilled. As we reflect upon this psalm here and now today, we need to recognize that although the power of the Lord's deliverance is really and truly revealed to us in that story of the Israelite slaves being set free, the power of the Lord's deliverance for us is fully revealed to us in Jesus. Just as he delivered the Israelites from their slavery in Egypt, we too can sing that the Lord has delivered us from our slavery to sin, delivering us from the hand of the evil one through Jesus. As he continues to speak to us through his word, and as he dwells with us by his Spirit, he continues to provide spiritual nourishment, and he promises to bring us to that place that he has promised to us. This is just a picture of what the Lord Jesus does for us, the powerful deliverance that he accomplished for us on the cross, and the power that he exhibited to us in the empty tomb. What a powerful deliverance we can celebrate today. This psalm shows us that God's great works, his glorious providence, and his powerful deliverance compels us to respond to him. But what should our response be? How are we to respond to the greatness and the glory of God revealed to us in his creation and revealed to us in the deliverance that we have received through Jesus? This psalm tells us that our response to God is to praise him and to reverently stand in awe of him. First, let's consider how we must praise the Lord. Hallelujah, the first word of this psalm simply commands us to praise the Lord. The first line tells us what we are to do. And then in the final line of the psalm tells us why we are to do it. It tells us that we are to do it because to him belongs eternal praise. We are to praise God because he deserves our praise. The bookends of the psalm command us to do this. Praise the Lord because he deserves our praise. That is the appropriate response to his great works for us. How are we to praise him? Well, if we look again at verse 1, we can see that the psalmist uses personal pronouns in how he will praise the Lord. He says, I will extol the Lord with all my heart. The praise that the psalmist speaks of here is definitely personal. We're to praise the God of our creation personally. And notice how he chooses to praise God with all of his heart, wholeheartedly. That is so challenging, isn't it? With our whole heart, we ought to personally praise God. God deserves more than our half-hearted devotion. He deserves our wholehearted praise. Spurgeon once said this about that particular verse. God cannot be acceptably praised with a divided heart. Neither should we attempt to so to dishonor him. For our whole heart is little enough for his glory. And there could be no reason why it should not all be lifted up in praise. How challenging. We should extol the Lord with all our heart. We should give him our everything. We're to praise him personally with all our heart. And yet, where does the psalmist say that he will praise God? In the council of the upright and in the assembly. The psalmist here suggests that we're to praise God not just personally, but publicly. Sunday after Sunday, we have the opportunity to do this. We can come here to personally praise God for all that he has done for us publicly as part of his assembled people. And going back to that verse about God causing his works to be remembered, there's a sense in which this word for remember means to proclaim publicly the greatness and the glory of God in praise of him. Although we ought to praise God personally, we're not only to praise him privately. We must publicly declare his goodness together as his gathered assembly of worshipers. There's another way that we ought to respond to God according to this psalm. We ought to fear him. Look at that last verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A familiar repetition of a teaching of throughout the Old Testament. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. According to this psalm, the only wise response to an awesome God who has created everything, who sustains everything and powerfully delivers his people is with holy fear. Although we tend to think of fear as something scary, something we might want to distance ourselves from, I don't think that's what's meant here. Fear means to stand in awe of something, to approach it and to regard it with the reverence and obedience that it is due. Rather than meaning we should be scared of the Lord, what the psalm tells us is that we ought to give to God our awe, our reverence, and our obedience. All of this he deserves. We're told that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this means that if we consider the works of God as great, the wise response is one of fear, one of awe, one of reverence, and one of obedience to the one who created it all. A response to the one who orders this world and provides all that we need. Our response to the one who powerfully delivered us from sin is fear, awe, reverence, and obedience. The greatness of God's creation and the glory of his providence and the power of his deliverance call us, compel us to respond to him. Will you respond to him? Will you give him your praise? Will you bow before him in awe? Will you fear him? Will you obey him? As we stand in awe of him, we ought to obey his commands. And as we praise him, we must be thankful for the wonderful works that he has done. Especially thankful for the great deliverance that he has provided for us in Jesus. There is no other response to the great God that we worship. I encourage you, respond to him by praising him, not just in the assembly, but personally with all your lives. Reverently stand in awe of him, not just here today, but in every moment of your life. Remember him and proclaim his mighty acts before others. Share the glorious deliverance of Jesus on the cross and the empty tomb with others before everybody. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you because your works are great. Your greatness is shown to us in all that you have made. As well as that, we praise you because your deeds towards us are filled with your glory. The way that you rule over us, the way that you communicate your care to us is deserving of our praise. And yet we also praise you for the deliverance that we have received through your Son. We thank you that through him we have been delivered from sin. And just as you fed the Israelites in the wilderness, so too does he provide for us nourishment even today as we go through life as your people. Help us as we respond to you with fear and praise. Help us to stand in awe of you as we see your greatness in creation. And help us to remain obedient to you as you remain faithful to us in your providence. Help us to remember you, proclaiming your good deeds before others so they too can join in a chorus of praise and awe before their Creator. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks to Graham for preaching from God's word today. I'm sure this will not be the last time you'll be here, Graham. I'm sure Andrew will let me borrow you again at some point. Folks, there's tea and coffee. There's refreshments after the service. You said that earlier, through these doors into the Link and Minor Hall. Do join us if you can. If you're a visitor today and you're not sure where to collect your child, beginners, the youngest ones are in the red brick building on the ground floor. And Kids Church, the older primary school children are through this door and then up on the first floor. You can find them there. If you're not sure, ask somebody and they'll point you in the right direction. And we hope we'll see you tonight, folks, as we hear from our Tear Fund speaker. Let's say the words of the grace together. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.